Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Welcome you to the student to teacher to student radio show on the internet. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. I can't tell you how important it is to know that there are so many people interested in the topics that we're bringing up. And that right now I'm looking at a number of over 7,000 people that have listened to our shows on just on archive. And that means that whenever you miss a show, that you can actually go on the computer and hear the show again. You don't have to miss our shows. So if you're tuning in right now and listening and you've got to go somewhere, you can always come back and pick up our show on internet and see what our conclusions are, what our resolutions are. And we appreciate that. There's nothing more that I can say. Words can't even express. Because we've done no major advertisement. This is all word of mouth. And so evidently there are a lot of people out there that need to hear what we're sharing. And I praise God for that. Today, our segment, our episode, is dealing with part two of repairing our illness mentality. Now, last couple of weeks, we defined illness mentality. We defined illness mentality as the attitude that we have about illness. From the very beginning of having a cold to someone actually developing more things and other things that make things worse for you. And before you know it, you're calling in to work sick, you're losing time from work, you feel uncomfortable being around others unless they listen to what you're saying about how you feel. So, and there's other segments of illness mentality. Now, that's a new word. That's a new concept that I'm bringing forth because I have worked with so many students and clientele that have come in, and most of us deal with, as counselors and psychologists, we deal with the immediate issue. Part of that is because we can't go back into, their childhood and spend many hours trying to figure out what's going on, what went on with their childhood. That's a Freudian method. Sigmund Freud developed that method, and it's a very lengthy method. It's good when someone has a lot of money on their insurance. And it is effective in some ways. But right now, here and now, in our year of 2010, with all of the cuts in services, especially in medical care and mental health, we find that going straight to the immediate problem is the best way to do it. Now, here's where I'm at with this. We're going to have a continued discussion clarifying what illness mentality means. In other words, are you sensitive to those who tell you they are ill very frequently? Are you sensitive to them? Do you listen to them or do you blow them off and say, oh, here she is again, or he's doing it again, he's got another complaint, what is it now? Okay, or are you a person that feels ill constantly and hesitates to tell others because they may not believe you? So many things are suggested, often with the best of intentions we offer them, such as, maybe if you lose some weight, that will help you. Maybe if you get some sleep, or drink this herbal drink. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Drink it up, and you'll feel better. or get a better mattress, or get better shoes. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Today I want you to listen to me and other staff members as they call in. We invite you to call in. I'll give you the number in a moment. And as we come to some resolutions about minimizing sick days and developing a positive attitude or mentality about succeeding at college, job training, and in your career, you see, it's really important that we look at all three aspects. That's what White Apple Institute does. It looks at the college life of an individual and how whatever's going on in your life is affected by that, how college, your career is affected, how your job training is affected. And so the affect of it is getting to the cause of it is what we plan to do. So please feel free to call in so that we can talk a little bit. And the number to call in at is 1-646-727-3758. Now, I wanted to start our episode off with sharing something from one of my greatest writers. You see, I'm an educational psychologist. That's the area that I work in, but I'm also a rehabilitation counselor, so many people come to me. And Beatrice Wright wrote a book some time ago called Physical Disability, A Psychological Approach. And this book was given to me by a very special person who knew that this was an interest to me. I mean, she goes through everything in the form of disability, and I hope that all of you, that I'm not losing listeners who say, I'm not disabled, because everyone has a limitation in one area or another, and that's what disability is, if you really think about it. If you're in a wheelchair, your disability is the fact that you can't get up and walk, okay? But that's how it's defined and categorized on paper. The reality of your spiritual world and what you create around you is who you really are. So you look in the mirror at yourself and determine, am I the type of person who is disabled and unable to do anything? And I think most of you listen to this show because you know that you are able to do many, many things. And that being in a wheelchair or being with any type of disability, from heart strokes, from strokes, from heart attacks, to diabetes, to all of the hidden, so-called hidden disabilities. Here's what Beatrice Wright says. A long and somewhat arduous path has been traversed in our search for understanding some of the psychological aspects of disability. In other words, there are psychological aspects of disability. When people say, I'm interjecting here, when people say it's all in your mind, of course it is all in your mind. We wouldn't be able to feel anything if it wasn't in our mind. So that's one thing maybe you could get out of the habit of saying, because it really doesn't make any sense. But what you're trying to say, maybe in many words, is that you're hypocritical, or you're, what's another word, hypochondriac. And so let's just say it the way it is, because it's not about it being in the mind. That's where it's supposed to be, is in the mind. Here she goes again. She says, before some final statements are attempted, we shall review some of the precursors that heralded current efforts in the broad area of deciphering man by his physique. So we look at people sometimes by their physique, and we say, oh, wow, that's a great-looking guy. But you must remember that there's another part of suffering and pain that you may not have seen. And so, therefore, you must develop an adaptation piece for yourself. She She goes on to say, they are mentioned, however, so that somatic psychology can be seen within the perspective of the total effort to discover or impute physique personality relationships. And what we're trying to say there, what she's saying in many words, is that somato, the soma of psychology, is how we create sometimes the illusion that we are continually sick. And we play on that and discover that we have physical and personal relationships with ourselves. We think of our personal and our psychological relationships a lot. We just don't like to share them. You know, since time, this beginning of time, men have held beliefs concerning the relationships between all sorts of physical attributes and personality. These have ranged from the revelations of bumps on the head, okay, and body chemistry, to the so-called divine powers of the lines on the palms of the hands and soles of the feet. People actually read those and determine your power, your personality. And so I wonder how many of you have taken time to get a reading on your hand, the palm reading, because it's very interesting how they determine a lot of things about you just by the palms of your hands or the soles of your feet. So what has happened is that they demonstrate what's going on with the person by doing that. The man's personality can, in fact, be read from physical constants, something that's physical. Here we can present only the barest highlights of the most relative excursions dealing with the problem. You see, basically, there are many, many ways that we look at illness. Some of us look at illness as, oh, it's nothing. I'll just keep on going. And they've hurt themselves badly. You know, like, I'll give you an example. A strong, strong man, muscle-bound, muscles sticking out everywhere. He was working on a construction project. And as he was working on this construction project, he broke his arm. He fractured his arm. And he had no idea he fractured his arm. He's so motivated, his adrenaline was running as he was working. The adrenaline fluid inside of us that God created within us. And it was pumping him up so that he didn't feel it. But boy, when he stopped working and he finally decided, there's something wrong with my arm, he still didn't go to the doctor. When he went home and eating dinner with his wife, and she noted that he was eating differently, he still didn't go to the doctor. If this went on for about 2 years of people noticing his arm being bent and sometimes painful, and they have asked him to go and see a doctor, and he won't do it. So that's another aspect of how we can repair our illness mentality, is by going to the doctor when you need to go to the doctor. Don't wait, because unfortunately gangrene set in and the gentleman had to have his arm amputated because he waited so long. But the good part about that, and there are some good parts if you look for the blessing, the blessing is he was able to go back to work and become a supervisor. And he worked his life out working as a supervisor, or he is working his life out. So, you know, would he have got the supervisor job without that? I don't know. But we certainly say here that we're very proud of him. We're glad that he did what he did, finally. Well, there's another way of looking at the illness mentality, and that is by the facial signs that people make that kind of give out a personality that you're in pain constantly. And so you need to watch that, how you present that and who you present that to, because other people will just treat you like a case. And when you fall out or get dizzy or whatever, they're going to automatically call the ambulance, and there you go. Where if you called a family member, she may take you home, or he, and give you some aspirin, Tylenol, Motrin, whatever, one of those things, and you sleep and sleep. Have you ever felt like that? Okay, we have a call coming in here. We appreciate that caller. Hello, this is Professor Applewhite.
Professor Applewhite, good morning. This is Maria.
Good morning,
how
Maria.
How are you doing?
Yes, we're just... Are you still out of town?
No, I just got by last night.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm glad to have you on the show this morning, because we're talking about how people need to repair their illness mentality, the way they think about illness. This is part two.
Oh,
and it's about those who may be sensitive to those who are going through and saying, I'm hurting. And sometimes they're not very sensitive. And then we're also looking at the person who feels ill constantly and hesitates to tell others because they may not believe in them. They might not believe what they're saying. And so right now I'm just sharing with them from Beatrice Wright's about the issues of repairing mental illness and physical illness, and how we can look at doing things that will keep us going as opposed to sitting at home and just giving up. And we know a lot of people who give up, okay? And we don't want people to give up. We want them to keep going. We want them to, whatever, if you have one arm, you have still have another arm. I met a young man the other day who had no arms and no feet, no legs. And his feet were as small as probably my longest finger. And this young man was on the bus with me. I was taking, Arizona has a light rail. I don't know if you've ever been on that, Maria. Here in Arizona, we have subway. It's like a subway.
No, I haven't yet.
Yes. Well, I did take the ride. It was very refreshing. It wasn't like the subways in New York, though. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Yes, you lived in New York for a while, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you know what those ways like in there. I mean, how do people get along in New York with if they're in a wheelchair?
Oh, Lord. I don't know how they do it.
Right. That's terrible. And you know, it's interesting how when we have barriers like that, it makes whatever we're dealing with, whatever disability we're dealing with, it makes it harder to go out and do things, because we know that it's going to be hard to get around if we step out the door. Right?
Yes, indeed.
So how do we begin to overcome that? Do you have any ideas? How do we come to where we can ignore that voice in our head that says, oh, just lay down, don't worry about it today. Don't worry about it today. Let's just lay down and forget about going to work or to school. How do you handle that? I know you get that voice.
Me? Well, Ms. Harper, I'm going to be very honest, okay?
Uh-huh.
I just came from a trip, okay? And you got to be tough and you got to pray a lot because life for us is not easy, okay? And for nobody, I guess, because it's like people say, get over. And that's ironic to say that because how can you get over when you are, like, I went to Florida and I was in a lot of pain, Ms. Apple, like never before. And I almost, on Thursday, I almost screamed my head off. And I almost started busting up crying in tears because I was in so much pain, okay? And I'm like, Jesus, give me help because I cannot take it anymore. No more.
Right.
I had it today. And I guess, Ms. Apple, to be honest, we have to take it day at a time. One, today. Just take today.
Day at a time.
Because tomorrow could be harder for us. But take it today because we don't have a problem for tomorrow. So let's take it today because it is tough out there. I went into this. I'm going to take a little time because I experienced something that I never experienced before, and it got me upset, and I called the airline right now to complain, okay? They pushed me, the girl that pushed the chair brought me to the near.
They pushed your chair?
Yeah, okay. They pushed my chair. The lady pushed the chair. And they got me near to the aircraft, and
right.
I was late. I was the last one to board the plane.
Yes.
And before I board the plane, the guy came to me and said to me, "Did you took care of the lady that pushed her?" And I knew what he was saying, but I was late for once, and then I didn't have money to really tip him, to really tip her. So she, you know what I said? It's amazing how people can be so insensitive to anybody.
Yes.
So
usually they put people in wheelchairs in first. Okay.
Okay.
You're supposed to go on first.
Yeah. Okay. But Ms. Apple, once. They were late with my chair, okay? So I was the last one to get into the aircraft because I was late, okay? So
because you were late, okay.
Okay,
yes.
So I had to wait online for everybody to go inside the airport, the plane. So
sure.
The guy came near me and said to me, did you take care of the lady? And I said, no. And he said, he said to me, the lady that I put, she gave me $5. And I said, sir, I do not have money. You know what he said? You're going to laugh, Ms. Apple. He said, you should have walked.
You should have walked. Oh, my goodness.
You should have walked, lady. And I said, you know what, Ms. Apple? I felt like, okay, I was late. I didn't have money, and he was talking to me. I guess it was God that helped me because I did not react to what he was saying. But I just called the airline, and I gave him a big complaint, and they told me that I had to get into the computer and make some kind of letter so that this problem this situation can be addressed. People in this life are very insensitive and very rude, and people need to have more, I don't know, common sense in life because they're nasty, and they're nasty to anybody. But you know, sometimes being a handicap is not easy to travel because people think that they can run you over, but they're wrong because we have a mouth that we can talk and let other people know what's going on, okay?
It is difficult. I agree with you. It is difficult to travel. It is difficult to go out of the house. And our other listeners out there, I hope that you're hearing this. We do understand. We have the empathy and compassion for you. And we know that sometimes it's so difficult just to go and turn that doorknob and go outside. But I tell you, it is so refreshing. It's so refreshing. So that I would like everybody out there listening right now to make an effort that when they see someone in a wheelchair, that they try their best to say something like, is there a way that I can help you? We have another caller on air. Hi, this is Professor Applewhite. Hello? Okay, you want to just listen this morning? That's fine. Okay, we have another caller. Hi, good morning.
Nazim Rashid here.
Hi, hello Nazim, how are you?
Wonderful, and yourself?
Great. It's glad to have glad to have you on the show for a moment. It's this is Nazim Rashid, and his music you hear at the beginning and end of the show is a wonderful piece from his Renaissance album. He's also promoting his book on radio, Reconnected. And we appreciate you coming on board this morning, because we're talking about how we can repair our illness mentality. And illness mentality is an attitude that people have about their illness and about how it can stop someone from going forward and not doing much.
Right.
And I advise them, if they have one arm, then you still, if one arm will work, you can do things with one arm. You can do things with one leg.
Right.
And I encourage them to do that. You have any good stories for us from Happy News about some positive efforts that have been put out? Or would you just like to say something about this illness mentality?
Well, it's important to first understand what mentality are you accepting in the first place. If you accept the illness mentality, you're going to be ill. You know, you have to look at what you are internalizing, what you're accepting as being okay and being true for you. You know, so therefore, if you say, I have an illness, I have an illness mentality, I'm thinking like an ill person, I'm living like an ill person, I see an ill person, well, then you're going to have that. You're going to have all the manifestations of an ill person and an ill mentality and so forth. So we have to have a new mentality, a new reality within ourselves. And so that's what you have to ascribe to in order to realize something different for your life.
Right. And whatever that is, you compensate. We learn how to compensate for what we don't have. So we don't allow the an illness mentality to take over. We allow a positive mentality to take over. A wellness mentality. That's what we're trying to get to, is that from this illness mentality to change it into a wellness mentality. And that takes some time. I'm not saying, listeners, that it's easy to do that. I'm saying that at least try. One of the ways you're trying already is by taking the first step to pick up the phone and dial our number. And that's going to get you on the road already to adjustment, the personality adjustment. And I know that I have heard people say that they feel like they want to kill themselves because they're so overwhelmed by all of the new issues that come up from disability and trying to survive when you can't get up. When I say get up, I want you to know that I'm talking about one person can choose to use that other arm or that other leg or that other ear. Think about it for a minute. Don't be overprotective of yourself. Don't be oversensitive for yourself. Don't have inconsistent attitudes. Stay on track. We have we have ways of getting around here in Arizona, but we know that there are ways of getting around places, to places in other parts of the world. And we hope that you will at least start dreaming that for yourself. Yes, it does cost a little money, but, you know, you save your money and you can do a lot of things. Just a little bit of money. So what we're trying to find here is a key for you to resolve these issues that you may be dealing with the illness mentality, and for you to feel a sense of, okay, you're getting all these suggestions about herbal drinks, drink this, you'll be fine, get a better mattress, get some better shoes. What do you do when people talk to you like that? How do you feel? Maria, you want to, you know, tell us a little bit about how you feel when people think that they have the answer for you? Like,
okay.
That terrible, yeah.
You want me to be honest?
Yes,
okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to be very honest. Last night, what my friend was talking to me, and I had an attitude. I'm being honest here. I'm down to earth, okay? Because I'm a woman.
Down to earth
and very honest. I had an attitude, and right now I feel overwhelmed. I feel mad. I feel like crying. I feel like everything, because it's not easy.
Yes. Because of the trip, the way they treated you at the airlines.
Kind of.
Is that why?
Because I was in a lot of pain, and because it is difficult. Being a handicapped, you have to be in our shoes to know what it is to be a handicap. You have to be in our shoes to know what it is to be a handicap, because it is very frustrating at the times. Very frustrating. Very, very much.
Yes, that is so
very
true.
Much.
And the example that you give all of us, and the hope that you give all of us, is this down-to-earth attitude that you have. And you're still strong and motivated, even though you may not be feeling that right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You may be feeling, oh, well, I registered in school for January. And what am I doing that? Where am I going?
No.
And you might feel extremely discouraged about that, but let me tell you, many people have endured what you endured at the airports, on the buses, and it's very, very inconvenient on the buses. I'm riding the buses myself. And I'm finding that people will give a large sigh when people with disabilities have to get on the bus, because the bus driver has to get out of his seat, go to the back, and open up the back door. And if that's not, you know, making you feel sick in your stomach while everybody's staring at you, yes, that is a reason to feel like you want to cry. Cry. Cry it out and then get over it. It's okay to cry. Don't you agree, Nazim? It's okay to cry. I think we lost Nazim for a minute. Nazim, did we lose you? Okay.
Oh, here I am.
Okay, thank you. I was saying that it's okay to cry.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Okay, and she said that she was overwhelmed by the disgusting way she was treated at the airport, and I know the Miami airport is very insensitive to people in wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm encouraging her to go ahead and cry it out, because we have to go on. We have to roll up our sleeves, and we have to still go on after that. But it is difficult, I know, for people that are out there to recognize you and have to treat you like a child or like you're a piece of trash. So
right.
I understand
exactly.
That. Yeah. So, I mean, you agree about the crying.
Yes, it's okay to cry. Now, after you cry, you got to do something about it. You have to let authorities know that your rights have been violated, and folks need to be charged. They need to be charged. So no, because what happens, you dishonor yourself, your own self within, if you don't do anything about it. That's very important. People do not have the right to mistreat you. And when they do, then they need to pay the price for that. If it's a law program,
yes,
they need to be charged. You see, so
yes,
that's real important to do. Always honor the self within. That's important.
Do you understand that, Maria?
Yeah,
Maria,
okay.
even if you're going to school, it's a difficult life to live. But I'll tell you something, and I heard this over and over again many times, is that those of us that are confined to wheelchairs, and I say confined only because of the physical part, not because of the spiritual part, but we are the ones who are actually going to the top of the list, of God's list or whatever, as faithful ones. We're not giving up. You didn't give up. You're not cursing God. You're just saying, I'm hurting. I'm in pain. These people have treated me badly. And I feel bad because they brought back feelings for me. But that is not going to stop me from going to school and feeling good about myself. And that's what we have to help people do, is just get through the illness mentality. One final point I want to make on this illness mentality so that we are really clear on this. Progress does not wait for just somebody to research something and say, okay, this is okay now, we can use that. We can't wait for progress by somebody else to start correcting ourselves. We've got to start with ourselves. Like, what do you eat that keeps you healthy? One good thing that you eat that keeps you healthy. Can you say that, Maria? Is there one good thing that you eat that keeps you happy?
Well, I have to be healthy because I have diabetes. So I guess part of the fruits and vegetables.
Right, fruits and vegetables. Those are the main things right there. And making sure the vegetable has plenty of fiber. Then drinking an herbal drink is good. I did that just for a physical display. Okay? But the concept of the ocean, being near the ocean and hearing the ocean water is a very, very good way to start getting over things. You know, we build social and psychological concepts in our mind about how people are treating us, how people are looking at us. And if we allow that, we erased it, just like taking an eraser and saying, you don't exist, your personality, okay, is what we're going to work on here. Take this for example. Before we leave the show today, take a few minutes to just close your eyes and see what a different scenario would have looked like. What a difference it would have made if you did this or you did that. I can think of one already. And that's if you weren't late. But what else could you have done to make things easier? See, we're quick to blame society, sometimes for our own suffering. And it's not even the fault of our society. You know, Beatrice Wright says the handicapped are a normal part of today's society and do not exist as a group apart with separate lives. Their needs and rights are the same as those of any other person. Their problems are the problems of all people and should be considered as part of the whole society. The handicapped person should be regarded as a whole person, physically, mentally, socially, and emotionally, rather than within the narrow confines of his handicap or disability. Plans should be made with and for the handicapped person on the basis of abilities, not disabilities, and of capabilities, not limitation. The fully developed person who is handicapped and not necessarily in a wheelchair, they have a reason for being here too. And many times we are not aware of that. We don't see a wheelchair, so what's wrong with this person? They don't even know that all of us don't need wheelchairs. We're disabled and we may still be working and walking around. And when somebody doesn't come to your party or your dinner that you're giving, you could take your hand right now and put it through a glass. And the way it feels is going to be based on the way you let it feel. You let yourself feel. You break the glass, you can scream and you can holler and you can be in the bed for days. Other people can do it and still say, hey, listen, it was just a small accident. I put my hand in the glass and I cut my hand. And they're moving on. The same thing with this experience that you had in the airline. You've got to move on from that space. You've got to forget it unless you're going to pursue it, you know, with the airlines. But you've got to let go of it if you're not, because it will eat at you and eat at you, and it will take your whole purpose away of who you are in a society. What do you want to do? Tell everybody what you're going to do in January.
Well, I'm going to try to, I'm going in Thursday. I think that's my day that I have to go and raise all my classes. I'm going to start taking, I think, 6 credits. They told me that I had to take 6 credits and see if I can become an interpreter in Spanish, English, and Spanish, and see what happens. You know, I'm going to take it slow, see how I will do by semester. So,
That's right. You can relieve your own suffering. You can relieve it, okay? You can rehabilitate yourself. You can. You might not rehabilitate yourself to being 100% back where you were before an accident or an illness happened, but you can do the best you can to rehabilitate yourself. And one of the reasons I say that is that a lot of people don't know that they can get well. And they take all of these vitamins. I'm one for doing that. I take a lot of vitamins. And the doctor said, you don't need all these vitamins because a lot of them are going out as a waste product from your body. So you don't really need vitamins. You need inspiration from within your heart to keep going. So changing your diet or improving your diet may help. Soft music and just thinking about what your future would be like. And you can get some help now. Okay? You can get some help now. You can even get some help at the school. At the school, we have rehab counselors like myself that will help you to get through your classes when you're having one of those days.
Right.
Okay, so don't for a minute think that you're alone. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A guy named Link said, if these plans, the plans you make to go forward, if these plans are to be reflected in care and treatment services for the handicapped, teamwork of the highest order is required of professional personnel in the medical, therapeutic, educational, social, and vocational adjustment fields. And we should like to stress teamwork, including the patient and family members. So it's not just about you. Yes, you can make changes in yourself, but gosh, it sure would be nice if you had a family member there that could help you and encourage you. Okay? You think about that. And all our listeners out there, I want you to think about involving your family. Involving your family and what you're doing, even listening to the radio show. Because what you're doing is you're changing your way of looking at different personalities, such as your home creates a personality for you. And so I definitely got a personality from just moving into my home. And not packed yet, but the adrenaline is running and the things are going almost the same as they were before. So relief from suffering. Key. We hurt ourselves, we get back up. And that's key. Do you remember that?
Try.
Well, we've got 11 minutes remaining on the show right now. And what I wanted to do is read something very, very important for all of us. And this is one of the things that you is one of the things that you say a lot when you're talking, and we appreciate that because this is the down to earth stuff. And by far the majority of cases, there is an exception. There's a lot of data out there, and on certain hypotheses elsewhere in this volume seem warranted. Here's Beatrice Wright's work. By far the majority of cases, it is wiser to inform a patient of a solution than to conceal it. Don't hide it. Talk about it. All right. Can you mute your phone as I get through these few parts here? Okay. Certainly where the patient is mature as a person, this course carries little risk. Where the patient appears markedly immature and dependent, one may act cautiously. But even in this case, if it is incumbent that the patient act realistically, sharing the state of affairs under the sustaining power of hope may be the most effective, okay? So what we want to do is we want to help them get through some of the realities in life. Facing the situation realistically need not deny hope, for the two are psychologically not compatible. Facing the situation realistically need not deny hope. And that's a deep one, because that's what we hope to see with you, is facing this situation realistically, you not deny help, as two are psychologically not incompatible. Further research is needed, and as in all matters of counselor-client relationships, now listen to this carefully, the effects of different rules of behaviors or procedures depend on the attributes of the counselor as well as the client. There are a lot of counselors that fight about how good their their being is. And what we want to do is we want to keep that going. We don't want anybody to feel in distress. So bear with us and tune in next week as we continue to talk about repairing our illness mentality. And that it's going to be more exciting information that will be given out. And a lot of this is because of the request made to me where I opened my home up for discussion, and Reverend Harmon came in, and I really meant to get him on the radio. We appreciate him being there. But what he was saying is that the situation of the acuity is already considered in connection with personality, decision-making, and all of those things. So we make the decision. Make a decision today. Make a decision that I'm going to do something today that I haven't done or haven't done in a while. But one thing that I'm going to do is make a decision. And you can call or you can write us. Okay? Our chat line is open. And you can write us about how you feel, if you feel better writing. And I'll tell you, it's just very, very healing to write down your feelings, especially you, Maria, right now. Because you sound like you're ready to blow. Are you ready to blow? Are you ready to go and get a gun and take off over there? Is that how angry you are? I hope not. I hope you're not that angry. But I know that you're pissed, and it takes a lot to get over that. But as Nazim reminded us on this upcoming show, his upcoming show is called Reconnected, after his book, and he takes excerpts from his book and actually reads that excerpt and comments on it. So I'm really happy that you're here today and part of the show. If you're interested in helping us out, your donations are accepted. And you can log in to our website and at whiteappleinstitute.org, and you'll see the membership. You can do that through PayPal. Or if you do some online shopping, you can go to whiteappleinstituteblastoff.com, and you will find yourself within a mall, a virtual mall on your computer. And anything that you buy that you normally would buy, a percentage comes back to White Apple Institute to help us continue our work in helping people all over the globe to experience success in what they're doing. We hope that you've enjoyed this show today, and we hope that in some way we've helped you clarify what the illness mentality is that you may have. We all have one. We all have an attitude about how we feel about illness and whether or not we're sensitive enough to those who tell you that they are very ill frequently, because more than likely they are telling the truth. There's one other thing I wanted to say to you, and this is very, very important that you listen carefully. We all have some suffering to go through, all of us. And maybe those who have experienced disabilities in their life and overcome just about everything have come back as a very, very fortunate human beings. I say that truly. So thank you very much for listening today. We're going to be closing out, and we thank Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, for joining us this morning. And we thank Maria Ramirez for joining us this morning. Thank you so much, Maria. Really appreciated your help. We missed Tom this morning, our co-host Tom. He said he couldn't sign in today, because he wasn't feeling